You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
All right, King of Heaven, come down, come now. Right, as we are in kind of the end of this busy season, looking forward to just a few days from now, where we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. As I was in this busy season, trying to do all the parties and all the things and spend time with the right people, and or not the right people, but all of the people that all wanted time to spend, as I was preparing for today, I just felt this need to just slow down. I don't know if you've felt the need to slow down recently, but I was really feeling it this week. And as we got to some familiar texts that I've read a number of times, and if you were in, you know, on the front of your bulletin, or if you were in the traditional service, we read from Isaiah 65, we read from Matthew 1, and then from Revelation 21. And as I slowed down with those texts and just ask God to speak to me through those, I heard another conversation that really got me thinking. And because there was a question that was asked, and it was a question that comes from Matthew 1, where an angel has appeared to Joseph saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. For she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then a little bit later in Matthew 1, it says that she had, Mary had her child, and they named him Jesus. And so the question that really got me thinking was, we've got these two phrases. We've got, "You shall call his name Jesus," "they shall call his name Emmanuel." And so it was the prophets who said, "They shall call his name Emmanuel." It was Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah. So why did the prophets promise Emmanuel, but then the angel tell Joseph to name him Jesus? Well, the angel tells us and tells Joseph why he should name him Jesus, and "You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus, Yeshua, literally means Yahweh is salvation, or God is salvation. And so Jesus in the cross and in the empty tomb, in the words "it is finished" and in the resurrection from the dead, he did what his name said he would do: bring salvation to the people. So then what about Emmanuel? Well, as Matthew tells us, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is real. And that is true. And that is absolutely has already begun. And yet there's hurt in this world. There's brokenness in this world. There is separation still between us and God. And so we can know Jesus truly as Jesus. We can know him fully as Jesus. We can know him as the Savior, because the work that needed to be done for salvation has already been complete. In the cross, in the empty tomb, in the Spirit working faith in your life through the hearing of his word, through the waters of baptism, you can know Jesus fully as Jesus already. And yet we're still waiting to know him fully as Emmanuel. And that's what this Advent season is about. It's this longing to know Emmanuel, God with us, fully. And that's what Revelation points us towards, where John has this vision from Jesus where he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." This is one of, if not my favorite verses in the entire scriptures, right? It's Revelation 21. This beauty of what it will look like on that day when Jesus returns. And whenever I'm meeting with a family to prepare for a funeral, and especially when they're not quite sure what text they want, sometimes they come in and they know we want these texts, and sometimes they say, "Pastor, you pick." And when they say, "Pastor, you pick," this is what Pastor picks, right? Revelation 21, verse 4, because I want you to know what that day will be like when Jesus returns, right? There will be no more tears. Death will be no more. No more mourning, crying, pain anymore, for all of those former things will be gone. But as I was thinking about that context through Matthew 1 and this conversation between Jesus and Emmanuel and those two names, what I recognized was that Revelation 21 verse 4 came after Revelation 21 verse 3. I know you probably didn't come here for a math lesson, but that's pretty typical, right? That 3 comes after 4. That 4 comes after 3. 3 comes before 4. Thank you for all of you who are listening and not me, whose brain was already ahead into the next thing I wanted to say. But it's not just numerical here. What Jesus shows John in verse 3 leads us into what we see here in verse 4. "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God.'" This is Emmanuel. This is the greatest promise. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." The greatest promise is not the removal of sorrow, pain, and death. The greatest promise is the removal of separation, partition, and distance from our God. That removal of sin, that removal of sorrow and pain and death, that is a result of Emmanuel. That is what it is like to be with God perfectly. That is the result of the restoration of the dwelling perfectly with God. It's really easy to make or to get really excited about the results, right? I'm really excited about the day when I wake up and I don't have to wonder if I'm going to have back pain or hip pain or knee pain that day, right? I'm really excited for the day where I don't have to deal with depression or anxiety or catastrophizing, right? Where I take a little thing that's not really a big deal and then start to spiral it and think and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Right? I'm really excited not to have to deal with that someday. I'm really excited to be able to dance and not make a fool out of myself. I don't know if that'll actually happen, but there's a potential of that. It's never happened before in my life. But I'm also really excited to see my grandparents again. I'm really excited to see those people whom I love who are already with Jesus. And those things are incredible things to be excited about. But sometimes we get so excited about those things that we miss Jesus. That Jesus just becomes kind of an afterthought that, oh yeah, he'll be in the new creation also. But no, the greatest promise that God has for you is Emmanuel, God with us. I think one of the reasons it's harder to get as excited about that is we don't know what that could be like, right? We have never known any life without that distance, without that separation from God. Ever since Genesis 3 in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, there has been separation between God and his people. And so while we have these hurts and aches in our lives, we often misplace those and look to the results of what that new creation would be like. And sometimes in our lives, we think, you know, everything looks good, but deep down inside, we know that there's something missing, where we're waiting for that other shoe to drop. And so we feel that ache, even if it doesn't look like it, that separation. Or other times, it's really easy to see that hurt and that ache and that brokenness of this creation, and we don't need to be reminded of that. Right? Some of you wore your Christmas sweaters today. Some of you wore nice ones. Pastor Rathke said that he got that sweater, and that's his Christmas, and it's great. It's not ugly. Congratulations. But sometimes our lives are like that too, where we put on the nice things on the outside to cover up what's underneath. And I'm not saying anything about what's underneath, right? But sometimes we try and cover things up with what looks nice to pretend everything's okay. Or some of you wore some fantastically ugly sweaters, because we don't care, right? They're comfortable, they're fun. Maybe we love the ugliness. But again, I think in our lives that same thing often happens, where we might know something's broken and we're just comfortable with it. Or even celebrate the brokenness of it, because others are celebrating the brokenness of it too. If I were the only one wearing an ugly sweater, I might feel a little out of place, but I feel okay being ugly around you, and in sweaters that's okay, but maybe in life we're just okay with the sin because others are sinful too. Or some of you didn't wear an ugly sweater, right? Maybe you forgot. Maybe you had no clue and just showed up and you went, what's going on? Or maybe you didn't want to wear an ugly sweater. You didn't want to draw attention to yourself. You don't want people looking at you. And again, we do that in our own lives, where we don't want anyone to see our brokenness, so we hide it somewhere else. Whether you're wearing a sweater or not, whether your sweater actually looks nice or is ugly, it's the same truth, right? What we put on doesn't change what's underneath. And that's why Jesus came, right? That she will bear a son, Mary will bear a son, and we shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people. He will save you and me from our sins. Jesus doesn't wait for the ache to go away. Jesus enters it. He weeps at the graveside of his friend Lazarus, because he weeps over the brokenness of creation. He feels abandonment when he's hanging on the cross. He says, my God, why did you forsake me? The Son knows what that separation from the Father feels like. But that's where Emmanuel begins, God with us, God in the ache. But it begins there, it doesn't end there. And the prophet Isaiah, like John, gives us a picture of that day. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. And then Isaiah talks about this great joy that we have to look forward to, this life, this bounty that God gives to us. And then he says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God's not talking through the prophet Isaiah about a better way to pray. He's promising us a day when there is no separation. An Emmanuel so complete that the distance absolutely disappears. And in this time between these two Advents, looking forward to that last day but preparing to celebrate that first Advent, we wait, but we don't wait alone. Because Jesus Emmanuel is with you right now. Emmanuel is with you through his word, through the reading of his word, through the preaching of his word. When you're home reading his word, he Emmanuel is with you. He Emmanuel is with you with his true body and blood broken and shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins. He Emmanuel is with you in those quiet moments with him. He Emmanuel is with you in prayer as you're having conversation with him. Again, maybe tomorrow night at 6 during that service of meditation, that time of Emmanuel where God is with us. And that is real and that is true and that has already begun. And it is also not yet fully fulfilled. Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation. He came to save you from your sins. And he is coming again to Emmanuel with you forever. So as we live between these two Advents, that ache, that separation reminds us that there is still brokenness and that there is still a need for Jesus, a need for a Savior. But the hope of Emmanuel tells us how the story ends. God with us, God with you forever. Amen? Amen.